This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to the Sunday Show, coming to you this evening from Derry, or as I like to call it, Legendary. And I'm joined by Karen Henderson from Visit Derry. Karen, it's so lovely to always come up here, and always a great welcome in Derry.
Yeah, lovely to see you back in Derry. It's been a while, so delighted that you're here today.
And of course, Derry over the last number of years, Karen, I mean, in terms of tourism, has grown. I mean, there's been an absolute explosion in terms of numbers up here, hasn't there? And you have won Best Tourism Award, which is fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, obviously, yes, I've seen the city really grow in terms of development of the city as a key tourism destination within the island of Ireland and Northern Ireland, but also our visitor figures have been really, really strong, particularly in 2019. Obviously, over the last 3 years, it's been very challenging, obviously, with COVID. But the one strength that came out of it, we saw many, many visitors from the south of Ireland coming to Northern Ireland and coming to Derry for the first time. And they came here for weekend breaks, and they came here to use Derry as the base to go to the Jan's Causeway or to visit the Wild Atlantic Way and stay here in Derry as a base. So we've had a lot of visitors, and they're now coming back in their numbers, which is great. And that's what we want to see. Many visitors coming from the south of Ireland to the city. And really, this will be our first year that we've really opened up the business. And already some of the hotels in January were recording their best January, which is really, really encouraging to hear.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, that was what you say about COVID there. It's a silver lining or a silver cloud, whatever. Because that was amazing. I was in Belfast as well, and I was traveling around. And here it was amazing to see all the southern ridges. And it was funny that people, you know, would be off to Spain for a week. They discovered Northern Ireland and Derry. And then, of course, they were like, wow. And the value for money, Karen, I think hit a lot of people as well.
Well,
you know, they got such good value when they came up here.
They did. I mean, that's one of what we'd say our USPs is obviously Derry, unique that we're Ireland's only completely walled city, one of the finest in Europe. But also the product offering that we have is great, and value for money, definitely compared to, I know my experience going to the down to the south of Ireland is quite expensive. I think we've kept it quite good here, and people are amazed about the prices of beer and eating out and our hotel breaks as well. So that is a big USP for us.
Now, I'm just talking a little bit about yourself, right? Your own career. You are 30 years in hospitality. You're known as the face of Derry, right? And I've been told that you are singularly responsible for those numbers, right? So fair play to you. That's great.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But 30 years, how did you start off? Were you always involved in hospitality?
Well, I suppose, I went to university in Belfast and I did sociology, believe it or not. Then I did a postgraduate business course, and I'm from Armagh, so I'm from the Orchard County, as you would know. And then a job came up in the Palace Stables Heritage Centre, which you probably would have visited many years ago.
Yeah, Palace to me, beautiful.
It's closed now, actually, the visitor centre. So I started off as a tourism assistant there, and then started organising events. And then a job came in the council for marketing officer during the Armagh Together year. And then I moved on to work in sort of the Lynn Homelands area, which I would have met you. It's probably about the first time I met you many years ago. And then I moved to Derry almost over 30 years ago. So I've been here ever since working. It was formerly Derry Visitor Convention Bureau, now Visit Derry. So I've seen a lot of great changes for tourism in Northern Ireland and the growth of tourism in Northern Ireland, and particularly here, it's very strong. But this is very much a team effort. We've got a great CEO. We're a very small team, but we all work very well together. And I suppose it's the passion that we have for this city that we're always outselling. We never get fed up with it, no matter through the bad times. And I think that's probably has shown through when we're speaking to tour operators or media. You know, we're very passionate about this city, and all the staff are very passionate as well in their work.
Yeah, I mean that comes across. I mean, I'm always, you know, I'm blown away actually, because sometimes you forget when you're in the big smoke, you know, the friendliness of people when you come up here and people just chat to you, even when you're getting petrol or these, you know, really friendly. Now, I remember being up for Lumiere, and when you had the Turner Prize, it was I think it was the first time it was outside the UK, and it was amazing over at the other side where the Peacebridge goes across to the Ebrington side or whatever. But that was a phenomenal, and Lumiere was amazing.
Yeah.
And for me, I suppose I had been up a few times, but it was the first time I really thought, wow, Derry has really come on in leaps and bounds, and amazing. Going back a little little bit, I suppose, when you talk about the history of the place, it's been through, you mentioned, it's been through so much. And I mean, 400-year-old walled city. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that for people that wouldn't have been here before or would be coming up for the first time. Just about the, you know, this amazing, unique product you have here, one of the only preserved walled cities in Europe.
Well, the wall, like a lot of people don't realise, they think, oh, there's a bit of the walls, but the walls are actually 1 mile in circumference. So if there's any runners there, whatever, they can come and do their their run around the walls or their walk around the walls. The date from 1613, they were built by the Honourable Irish Society and are their own by the Honourable Irish Society. It took 5 years to complete. So they are over 400 years old. And again, every step of the way, there's always something about the history of the city from the timing of the 546 when St. Columba was here, right up to the siege of the city. And then you overlook the area known as the Bogside, where the Troubles would have happened and Bloody Sunday would have happened. And you can actually go down into the Bogside and see the murals that are there from the People's Gallery. And also down the Bogside, there's the Museum of Free Derry now, which tells the story of the Civil Rights Movement and particularly Bloody Sunday. But the walls are really special and they've been described as one of the finest examples of walled cities in the British Isles and indeed Europe. So we're very proud of them. They are totally intact. The cannons on the walls have all been restored and we have thousands of people walking the walls during the summer. And actually, we're an all-year-round destination, so there'll be people out in tours all year round. And we have a number of tour guides that provide tours every day of the week, apart from Christmas Day, but they will go out on Christmas Day to have a tour.
Yeah, and I remember that. I mean, that was one of the very impressive things. I remember when I did the, I think it was Martin Cross on tours. I can't remember exactly who I did the tour with, but a bit of a legend, the tour guide he was as well. Gar Vahey, I think was his name.
Garvin.
He was terrific. But I was actually blown away by that. And of course, the history here, and then with the whole peace thing, I mean, you know, we know that you talked there about the Bogside and stuff. It's amazing when you look down and you see that and you actually come and experience it on the tour. It's really a wonderful experience.
Well, during funny lockdown or when we opened for business sort of last year, one of the busiest, the tours, the walking tours were so popular, but also we have the Bogside History Tours, which operate on a daily basis and they do the tour of really the Bogside, and the amount of people from the south of Ireland that were on that tour as well was really, really busy, and also going down to the Museum of Free Derry. But we also have on the walls a fantastic, unique museum called the Siege Museum, which tells a story of the siege of the city, which was the longest siege in British military history. It lasted 105 days. And you also learn about the apprentice boys, because it was the apprentice boys who opened and closed the gates of the city. And it's really well documented in the Siege Museum, which is actually located on the walled city. So I definitely recommend that to your listeners as well who are coming to Derry.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, just the Peace Bridge is really a beautiful structure.
Yeah.
And when was that built again, Karen?
Well, that was built in 2010. You mentioned City of Culture as well, Ed. We are celebrating the 10th anniversary of the City of Culture. Can you believe it? That was 10 years ago since Lumiere and the Turner Prize was here in the city. But the Peace Bridge is really iconic. It's the new icon of Derry, as well as the Derry Girls, which I'm sure we'll speak about, the mural. And over in that area, it's all being redeveloped, regenerated. We have the Wall City Brewery there, which hopefully you'll experience over the next few days, which is the only brewery restaurant in Ireland. So it's a great eatery and for gins and beers. And we have the opening of the new Arbrington Hotel and Spa, which will open in the summer at the end of June. So really excited about that.
That's amazing. I was reading about that, a new 90-bedroom hotel, and they're going to have a state-of-the-art spa. It's going to be really great for wellness. And again, of course, that's just another symbol, I suppose, of the growth of the city.
Yeah, and I think it's great testimony of how we have developed tourism, that we have another new hotel just coming out of COVID that's going to be opening. It's a £16 million development. We're really excited about it. It gives us more bed space, but also a new offering to our visitors. And again, it'll be a spa hotel in the city centre as well.
Great. Now, I mean, accessibility is always important for any destination. And a lot of people would know and some wouldn't. You have an airport here, of course, and you can fly to Derry. Michael Palin once described his train journey along the coast from Coleraine, I think, to Derry as one of the
most scenic
train
journeys he's ever done.
So you can actually come by train as well. And of course, driving up, it's only like 3 hours from Dublin, three and a half, depending on the weather. But so very, in terms of accessibility, it's brilliant, isn't it? And
you've got
ferries as well, of course, operating from here in Donegal. And there's an awful lot of options and variety of stuff to do, isn't there, in terms of getting here?
Yeah, well, I mean, we used to, many years ago, have the flight from Dublin to Derry direct. Mm. Now, that could still be on the cards, maybe in another year or two. However, we travel up the A6. The motorway is being developed for years. It's going to hopefully open in April. So that will cut journey time down from Derry to Belfast by a half an hour. So from Dublin, you should be in Derry in 3 hours, which is great. And I would say come here, just don't come for 2 days. Come for 3 or 4 days. Stay here, go to Donegal, go to the Giant's Causeway for a day, but stay here because you've got a lovely walled city. You've got great value for money, great nightlife, music basically every night of the week in this city, and great eateries as well. So it's a fantastic base for your visitors that want to come, or your listeners want to come for a few nights.
Brilliant. Well, I'm talking to a real Derry girl here this evening on the Sunday show from Armagh, Karen Henderson. Karen, we're going to come back. Derry Girls, of course, everyone's heard about Derry Girls, one of the most popular TV programmes ever made.
This Sunday show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to the Sunday show, coming to you this evening from lovely Derry up here in Northern Ireland. Karen, it's been a really exciting few years in terms of, we were just saying there earlier, I mean, from the Turner Prize when I was up here the last time, so much going on now. You've got some exciting new things going on as well. Now, just Derry Girls, I remember I was up a few years ago and I was in a bar here and I met one of the Derry Girls, and it was a really wonderful experience to watch Derry Girls and the humour. And I think it really put Derry on the map, didn't it, to a certain extent as well?
Yeah. I think certainly the first UK city of culture that Derry won put us on the map in terms of internationally. Derry Girls has been fantastic for the Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland market, GB, but also internationally. There's a lot of visitors now coming on the walls, and the mural is so iconic that everybody...
The mural is amazing. It's really... I mean, it's like one of the most photographed places, I'd say, here now, is it? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, everybody has a selfie with it. Any group comes in, or individuals, or you see all of the different nationalities around the walls getting their photograph taken with it. And it's been a great story. It has really been something that is very positive. It was very emotive at the end when it finished. People want more of it, but that's it. And I just think it was brilliant for Derry. And you know, the fact that they all came here, the film, the stayed here, the economic impact for the city, which was brilliant as well. And we saw some of the filming going on here beside our office here, especially around Magazine Street here. And obviously, you know, the reenactment of the Clinton visit was very iconic, I thought, which was in Guildhall Square. So, very exciting for us.
What do you think it was? I mean, there's some great lines. When I was up the last time, I was filling a cream horn in, what was the?
Fergal's tour, the Derry Girls food tour.
Which was terrific.
Yeah.
You know, up and the line, what we were seeing going up Pump Street with a packet of cream horns to Grandad, you know, like he was on a date or something. But of course, the period that it was set in as well, 90s. Was a very good period, wasn't it? In terms of, you know, that humour, of course, that's one thing about up here as well. Humour has never, ever changed. It's just so, so good, the humour.
Yeah.
But, and I think that played into the whole thing, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I obviously grew up in the 1990s and, you know, it was like that. You know, it was that, you know, the army got on to the bus or whatever and checked out things, and, you know, the whole cross-border going to Donegal was just so funny. I just thought that was really funny and stuff. But, you know, it was quite lifelike as well. And, you know, they used a lot of locations in Derry, particularly during Series 2 and Series 3 was very much focused around Derry. First Series 1 was actually, a lot was filmed in Belfast, but I was fortunate to be at the last two premieres and meeting with the girls and with all of the actors, and it was just fantastic for this city and really put the city onto map, and people want to come and see where Toto went into the church, or, you know, the B&B where the mother, Mary, was dancing with the plumber, and, you know, that's just around the corner from here. So there's just so many great
stories. I thought the Weeping Mary statue was a good
one. Oh, yeah.
Where that was.
Well, that's actually down here. Yeah, it's just off the walls down the church.
That was brilliant.
So it did actually made people very happy and sometimes sad, particularly in the last series with the Good Friday Agreement. So it ended up very, I suppose, very, very positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, which was great.
Because cess jetting, as it's been called now, I mean, you know, when you see Belfast and around Northern Ireland with Game of Thrones, for example, you know, it's a huge thing now. I mean, you've been people from Japan and Argentina. Yeah. But I saw the same thing here at the mural.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Derry Girls is almost the Game of Thrones for Derry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it just the attraction, it's amazing that one program like that can be so much, can bring so many visitors to see.
Totally. So some of our members have really embraced the Derry Girls by putting on themed products, such as the Everglades Hastings Hotel has their Derry Girls afternoon tea, which is really, really popular on a Saturday. You can hardly get a seat, which is great.
You have to have the cream horn, I suppose.
The cream horn bun is definitely on the agenda. So is Tato Crisps and a sausage roll bap.
Yeah. When I was doing the cream horn, now I have to say, the cream didn't go in the whole way. So it's dried. So you really have to pump it in.
So there's a knack in doing that there. The one I did actually was full of jam, so I got the sack for my demonstration.
But that's great that you can do all those different lunches.
Yeah. And the City Tours does a Derry Girls walking tour on a Saturday, taking you to different locations. Today, we're delighted that we're actually launching in our visitor centre the new Derry Girls Experience, which will open up just beside us here in the Tower Museum during July. So it'll be like a museum dedicated to the Derry Girls. There'll be like memorabilia. We might have Erin's bedroom, you know, featured in it. So again, that'll be something for visitors to come and see and do the whole Derry Girls experience.
That's brilliant because again, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Shows like that. I mean, they're so iconic. They have a shelf life that goes on for years, as we can see with Game of Thrones. I mean, people are still only starting to watch it now, and you know that's the beauty of TV. Now you can start watching Derry Girls anytime you want.
Well, I think a lot of people actually just don't watch it once; they watch it. Mm. Like I've watched it numerous times, and my wee boy as well loves it. But also Netflix; it only was all launched there last October, so you know the international market are just catching up with it as well. And it is phenomenal interest. And we have merchandise here down in the visitor centre here in the retail department. And again, the Derry Girls stuff, it sells really, really well. So
Brilliant. Again,
it's great for us. Screen tourism is really important now for our tourism industry within Northern Ireland. And let's just hope that that will grow and grow. And the fact that we would love to see Derry being used for more programmes, our movies now as well.
Yeah.
It's pity Pierce Brosnan didn't come our way. He's been all over Donegal. And he actually read this morning, he was at the Ponderosa, just not far from here. So that's great. He's certainly done Donegal proud. And again, hopefully we'll have more famous actors and actresses coming to the city.
Brilliant. Now, another great, I suppose, another really a giant of Derry would be John Hume, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited that later on I'm going to be doing the John Hume visitors. So if you just tell us a little bit about that's very interesting for me as well.
Yeah. So obviously John Hume was obviously so instrumental in the peace process here, and he was just an icon within Derry for many reasons. Obviously tried to get the university here back in the 70s. So there's actually a new John Hume collection, which is located within the Guildhall. So it's upstairs outside the main hall, and it actually hosts his three peace prizes. You will not see anything like this in the world. It's totally unique to Derry. He obviously won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1998, so you can view his prize there. He also won the Martin Luther King Prize in 1999 and then the Gandhi Prize in 2001. So again, it's a real tribute to his work for peace in Northern Ireland. And also there's actually an amazing play that's going to perform in the Playhouse called Beyond Belief, The Life and Mission of John Hume, going to be held now between the 31st of March and the 7th of April in the Guildhall, and it will be amazing tribute to him.
Yeah, and I mean, I think people, you know, forget, I suppose, as well, he was so, when you look, as a lot of political expense to himself, really, when he started to talk to the IRA and he said, look, you know, things have to be done differently. I mean, he was such a pioneer, really, because in those days, you know, it was such a different time, wasn't it? And I suppose what he did, really, a lot of people, it kind of can go a little bit missed sometimes, but it's brilliant to see this because for me, I think he was one of the quiet, unsold heroes, really, untold heroes of the whole peace process. And it's wonderful to see this happening. And I'm really excited to go on and see that today as well.
It's a lovely tribute. And again, for any of your listeners that are coming up, definitely would recommend them to go and see it in the Guildhall. And there'll be a tour guide available to tell them and relay the history of of the Guildhall, but also about the John Hume collection. And I could see that it's going to be a permanent exhibition, which is great. Brilliant. So it's not just a shelf life, it'll be permanent, but I could see it be enhanced year on year because obviously the dedication and the how he was instrumental in the peace process here.
This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to the Sunday Show, coming to this evening from Derry. And I'm delighted to be joined by Karen Henderson, the head of Visit Derry. Karen, there's so many things we could talk about tonight, but just to give people an idea, things to do as well outside Derry. There's loads of things to do. Now, I was watching a Netflix documentary about the Bear Man of Buncrana recently. Aye. I'm actually going to see him tomorrow. He's bringing bears and wolves and everything. It's Aye. Only 10 minutes out the road. There's loads of things to do from basing yourself here, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, Wild Ireland's fantastic. It's 10 minutes drive from the city. So again, it's about the Wall City, our concept, the Wall City, where the Wild Atlantic Way meets the Causeway Coastal Route. It's our new proposition and it's really, really working well. So it's about staying in Derry and exploring the rest of the Wild Atlantic Way and Giant's Causeway. Wild Ireland is a fantastic attraction on our doorstep, particularly for people that are interested, obviously, in wildlife or animals, but also for families as well. It's a great tourist attraction. Also, last week I sampled the zip line at Oak Fire Adventure. It's just about 15 minutes drive from Derry. It's set in Fawn Valley, and I went up to, thought it was going to be a small zip line. When I got up to the top of the steps, it was 230 metres and my wee boy had gone ahead. There's no fear in him. He went on and I thought, I don't know whether I can do this, but I did it and then had to come back again. So it was really, really great to do and to sample their tourism product on offer. It's great for adventure. So lots to do for families
and
Derry.
And there's a 550 metre one as well, is there?
Yes, but I didn't. I wasn't brave enough to do that. I says, I'll just leave it at that. But it was really, really good. It was very busy on a Sunday morning. So again, fantastic to
That's
do.
Amazing. And you were saying you go zipping over the river.
Over the river.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was quite nervous.
Sounds like something I did in New Zealand, sorry, or something, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Wild adventures.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's great. Like lots, I think that's the thing about COVID. People want more things to do outdoors. Mm. And me and my wee boy, we'd go out a lot outdoors and it was really great to do. And there's some fantastic products in Northern Ireland and indeed in this area. Also, actually, we're going now in 2 weeks' time to one of our companies called Limitless. And they do a lot of activities as well. It's near Limavady. So we're going there, the team, to do a familiarisation visit of their product as well. Giant's Causeway, again, within 1 hour's drive. Bushmills Distillery.
Port Rush. I did a wonderful thing there last summer, actually, Karen. I was Frankie McCreet. She's an artist there. She has a studio and we went out. It's like she teaches you how to paint watercolours in a day. It's like a little workshop.
Lovely.
And you sit down by the, of course, you're spoiled for beautiful beaches there.
Yeah,
of course,
beautiful.
They filmed a lot down that coast, you know. The Dothraki grasslands were Game of Thrones filmed there as well. You can get helicopter flips. I remember from Derry, you can do a helicopter flip around the whole coast there as well, which was really good. But yeah, I mean, there's so much to do in terms of...
Fanone Beach is only literally 45, 50 minutes drive. It's absolutely stunning. Mm. You've probably have been watching that B&B by the Sea.
Yes.
Which again is great promotion for Northern Ireland. But they came into Derry. One of the presenters came into Derry for a day and we got great coverage of the city as well. Also, Ulster American Folk Park is a brilliant attraction. It's only an hour's drive from Derry as well. Great for families.
That was something really, I did that about 2 years ago.
Yes, superb.
Refurbished. That was brilliant. I mean, you were on ships and that was very, very interesting actually for people. And I'd never even heard of it before. That was really enjoyable.
Oh, great. Well, basically, Derry was one of the main ports of emigration during the famine in 1840. And there was Derry, people left here from Ulster or Cove and County Cork. So again, it was telling the story of people who left here to go to find a new world in America, Canada, Australia. And again, it's really well documented, the Ulster American Folk Park, what life was like when people left Ireland during the famine and they were lived in mud cabins, and then what their life was like when they went to the new land of opportunity in the States or in Canada, North America. So it's really, really great attraction.
The other thing that I've noticed, Karen, as well, is the food offerings up here and all the the different restaurants that have opened. Even you've got food trucks. I had some Pikes amazing. I never had gourmet food truck food before. I did Low and Slow, or is it Slow and Low? Low and Slow, I think, with Emily. But you, the Craft Village here now, the Cathedral Quarter. You know, you have Browns, Bonds Hill, E&R there, and Marcus. Fantastic. You have, you know, just out the road, you know, beautiful place. I said Artara, I said, gorgeous. Yeah. But Soda and Starch. I mean, I'm just naming a few restaurants that I've been. There's, it's been incredible, the actual quality of food here. Yeah. But Karen, the food scene here has taken off completely. Now, we'll talk with the music in a minute, but just on the food scene, it's amazing now.
Well, it definitely is. And I mean, I've seen over the years that new restaurants are opening, and there's a great initiative called Legendary Food, and it's brought together all the eateries and the product, and it's very much focused on local food and local drink. So a lot of the bars are selling the local, like Northbound beer or whatever, or using the local cheese. And you've mentioned there, like, it's great food offering and very good value for money as well. You know, mentioned Browns, they're fantastic. Two restaurants in Derry, and really, really good value for money. And actually a lot of our tour groups and that are now using different restaurants for lunch stops or dinner stops. And it's great. It's great to see. And that's the one thing that comes back when I have agents in from all over the world, from anywhere over the world, and of course Ireland, that say, that's probably the best food I have had in Ireland. And that's not me saying it.
Yeah,
it's them, because they've had a great experience.
Yeah.
And
it's very true. I mean, even the Waterford Hotel there, where I like to stay outside,
it's lovely
outside. You know, they do a fantastic packages for, I've been talking about value again, for dinner, bread and breakfast, and the food is terrific. You know,
very good.
Nice and relaxed, and you're so relaxed there. Yeah. Great place again to base yourself, and really fabulous. Now, the Cathedral Quarter as well, I suppose that people could equate that with other kind of like a little hub for bars. You've had the O'Donnell's here.
Yeah.
Traditional music is, I mean, huge here, isn't it? I mean, it definitely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, very much we would be renowned as the city of song as well. You mentioned about the Craft Village, it's absolutely beautiful. So if any of your listeners are coming up, make sure that they go to the Craft Village. There's a beautiful thatch cottage there called The Cottage, which does amazing crepes and homemade scones every day.
The best cherry scone I've ever had.
Absolutely. Michelle is a legend there. Yeah, she's there.
That is really a must stop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For tea, coffee, scones. You've got Soda and Starch there as well.
Of course. Yeah.
You've got craft
shops. Beautiful fish.
But also our newest restaurant is our Tease, which is run by Philip O'Hagan, who was in the Great British Menu in the Northern Ireland finalist, and he's opened his restaurant over 2 years now. And again, it's gourmet dining. It's now been featured in the Michelin Guide. So again, very, very popular, and his price for a meal would be half price that you would pay in a restaurant in Belfast.
Yeah.
So there's something for everyone to suit all budgets. And I want to say the one thing that comes back again, and what we would promote quite heavily, it's all about local. It's local food, but also local staff and local hospitality. That even if you go into retail today, or you go to a shop, or you go to the Guildhall, it's all about the local people working in the industry, and they're very, very welcoming and a bit of fun, and it's just great to have that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And it's the local dairy people that's prime here in the city.
Yeah, no, I mean, we all know the famous iconic, I mean, we talk about music there.
Music.
You know, The Town I Love So Well, of course, you know, Phil Coulter. I mean, again, another famous son of Derry that would have made the place very. I mean, there's music everywhere, the undertones, as we spoke about earlier. I mean, not just here, but it was the whole of Northern Ireland, Belfast getting UNESCO Heritage Award of City of Music. I mean, I would have thought Derry would be up for that as well, because, you know.
So did I.
Because certainly.
They stole our thunder.
The music history, the history here. Yeah. I mean, it's a real city of song. And people as well, of course. You're one of the youngest populations in Europe as well.
Yeah, that's right. Nadine Coyle was in Girls Aloud. She's another one as well. Dana, who got the Eurovision Song Contest. Absolutely. Great music here. And I mean, that's what I said. Derry would be an all-year-round destination. There's music every night of the week here in Waterloo Street beside us. And Peter Don's has traditional music every night of the week. I had a group of 150 people in last weekend for a trad weekend, and we arranged music in Thirsty Goat and a great bar up here called Lizzie O'Farrell's. He's a musician, and they had a great experience. They were all from the south of Ireland. They were from Ennis, they were from Wexford, they were from Limerick, they were from all over. And they had a great weekend sampling the music, the food and the local hospitality. And many of them did the tours as well.
Brilliant. Well, Karen, listen, you're a great ambassador for Derry, being an Armagh girl yourself. They've totally embraced you here, embracing a giant spirit.
Thank you.
What is your philosophy, Karen? We're kind of finally, we finish up. What is your philosophy in life? I know you love going around the world promoting dairy here and promoting Northern Ireland. What is your philosophy on life?
Well, I suppose after the few years that we've had, it's about, you know, I very much love people. It's about, I love working with people. I love networking. I'm very much passionate about the city. I want to see it growing from strength to strength. But obviously you have to look after your own welfare as well, which is really important. So again, just to be happy and to enjoy life, and we work hard, but also just to enjoy it. And, you know, the fact I love getting back into the office now, that I've done enough Zoom calls and virtual workshops.
Don't mention that word.
No, I'm glad to get out meeting people. And next Wednesday, we'll be meeting 150 tour operators and networking with them. And it's just great to be out into the marketplace again and to meet our clients as well. So again, and I like to run and I like to do a bit of sport as well and to get outdoors. And it's very important, I think, for all of our mental health that we all need to get out there. But friendship's so key and our colleagues is so key in life as well.
Well done. Anyway, Karen, listen, great to be here with you. And again, as
delighted.
I said, beautiful, one of the nicest visitor centres I've been to here up in Derry. And pleasure to chat to you this evening, face to face. Karen Henderson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed.